We're in our second week of competition of the Olympics, and we're also in our second week of competition in the stories that we're telling about the questions that God is asking us. You know, we have the competition between Cain and Abel. We have the competition in this particular story between Jacob and, well, everybody. What a scoundrel. What are we supposed to think of this guy? This guy is our hero? This guy is the guy whose story we're following? So if I can set up the scripture today, just quickly, he's running from somewhere to somewhere, and he doesn't like either choice. He's running from somebody who's after him to somebody who doesn't like him, and he has an appointment with destiny. If you've been watching the Olympics, you've heard that phrase, I'm sure, an appointment with destiny. Have you had your appointment? Have you gone through a very long night somewhere? And in that long night, you wrestled with God, and your question was mostly, why? And then you found by daybreak that the question was really to you. What are you going to do about this? Who are you going to become? What is your new name going to be? Let us go to the scripture, the 32nd chapter of Genesis, verses 23 through 28. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. And so Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go until you bless me. And the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Conley. This is amazing. I have the whole sermon down to four sentences. Of course, there'll be some commentary on the four sentences. But here are the four sentences. Jacob is wrestling with those hard things that keep us awake at night that we try so hard in the day to ignore. Second sentence. But sooner or later, God arranges a wrestling match, and we have to face them. Sentence number three. Will we come clean and face those hard truths about ourselves? Four sentences. The good news is that God has a blessing for us if we will prevail and wrestle our way on through the night. Those are the four sentences. I'm going to fill them in just a little bit. Jacob's name means cheater, heel grabber, deceiver. When he was born, he wanted to be born first. So he grabbed his brother's heel and tried to arrive in the world first. Because you see, there was something specially reserved for the firstborn son. He always desired that. But he was the secondborn. His name, Jacob, means to, well, deceiver, and that's what he did to his own father, because when it came time for his father, Isaac, to give the blessing to his oldest son, Jacob got his brother's clothes, put them on, put some goat hair around him, because Esau was a hairy fella, and he got this roasted goat stew. And you see, because his father was blind, he wouldn't know that he was being deceived. Who is this? I am Esau. So he cheated his brother out of his brother's blessing. He deceived his own father. And you're right, it caused conflict within the family. Esau became angry, and there came a time when he threatened his own brother, and so Jacob had to run away. And his mother said, go to Haran, for at least we have some distant relatives there. So he literally left everything, and he went to another place to get away from his past. And it worked for a little while. Now, one of the good things that happened was he went to get a drink of water at the well, and the woman of his dreams arrived. Oh, he fell in love just like that. But he didn't use his name, Jacob. He went up to her and said, well, tell me who you are. Oh, this is fortuitous. I'm a relative of your father. Well, I'm the son of Rebekah. But he never used his name. Couldn't face up to who he was or what he had done. Well, he got tricked by his uncle Laban. He had to work 7 years for that particular daughter. He himself was tricked by his uncle, and they went back and forth. They were a match. And finally, they came to parting terms. It's really good that we part. And so the time came for Jacob to go back home again. And so they said their goodbyes. And imagine this. He knows that as he makes his way back home again, his brother Esau is waiting. And the last time he spoke with his brother, there was a threat. Needless to say, Jacob had a lot on his heart. So he comes to this ford of the Jabbok River. It's at nighttime. He sends his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children across the ford of the Jabbok. And Jacob remained there alone. Key word, alone. Sometimes we find ourselves alone and we have to face ourselves and we have to face God. He wasn't prepared for what was going to happen. I imagine, I don't know how it happened, but this whole thing is mysterious. It's got to be. He was alone and he's there alone at night. And he's crossing the ford of the Jabbok and something grabs a hold of him, and your first tendency is to want to pull back, and then you realize something's got a hold of you and you got a hold of it and you're wrestling. And that's what was going on with him. Now, this is a mysterious story. I mean, I don't want to go into all the details, but what we're going to recognize is if we take a bird's eye view of this story, you see that he's wrestling with those hard things about himself. And he's wrestling with God. He's wrestling with God. Jacob is wrestling. He's wrestling with those hard things that that keep us awake at night sometimes, that in the daytime we try to avoid. But God arranges a wrestling match, and we must face them. And so here he is, alone with God. He can't escape. You know, I'm not a wrestler. At one time, I thought wrestling just looked like fun. Anybody could do it. But when I was playing college football during off season, they put us through rigorous workouts. And I was up to all of them. I mean, they'd come up with something. Let's do this. And I'd do it. And let's come up with this. And you know, it's interesting the things they come up for you to do during off-season training. You know, try out ballet. Try out all kinds of things, you know. Well, they decided that here's what we're going to do today. We're all going to go up to the wrestling gym, and we're just going to wrestle one another. I said, boy, this is going to be fun. So I got down on the mat. They showed us how to get down on the mat. And how many out there have ever truly wrestled Good. Then you know what I'm talking about. And I don't mean TV wrestling. My brother and I did that in the living room. We got thrown out of the house. But you get down on the mat and you get one another like you're supposed to. And then you say, well, how long are we going to do this? The coach says, well, we're probably going to do it about 2 minutes. Ah, 2 minutes. Let me tell you, within 10 seconds, I was pooped. I was pooped. It's exhausting, right? That's hard. But let me tell you, that's just physical. The spiritual can be even harder. And that's the way it was with Jacob. But he said something that was of great, great value. Now facing the things about himself, of who he was and what he'd done, and realizing he cannot escape these hard truths about himself, he said, listen, I will not let you go unless you bless me. In other words, don't let me go through this for nothing. Let it count for something. If I am to wrestle, if I am to wrestle all night, I will wrestle all night. I'll stay on my knees in prayer. I'll do whatever it takes. But Lord Jesus Christ, I desire a blessing. So, the question is, will we come clean and face those hard truths about ourselves? And Jacob did. And so God says, what is your name? And he says his name. For over 20 years, he probably never said his name, but he said his name. My name is Jacob. I've already told you what Jacob means. But then God says, you shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, a great nation. For you have striven with God and you've striven with humans and you have prevailed. You are the one over whom God rules. And you will become a nation. Now, through this wrestling match, Jacob, who is now Israel, has gone through some inner transformation. He's no longer the same. And you know, for the rest of his life, people knew something was different about him because his hip socket was put out of joint. He walked with a limp the rest of his life. But that limp was a blessed limp because every time he limped, he probably said something to himself like, I'm not Jacob anymore. I'm Israel. I'm not Jacob anymore. I'm Israel. I'm Israel. And so when we come clean and face the hard truths about ourselves, well, the good news is that God has a blessing for us when we prevail and wrestle our way on through the night. And the blessing is simply this, the blessing of a new name. Jacob received the new name of Israel. We receive the new name, no longer lost but found, no longer tarnished but redeemed, no longer guilty but forgiven, no longer rejected, but chosen. We receive the name of I am a child of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what great love God the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and that is indeed what we are. And so we receive this new identity. Now, when Jacob received this new identity, he lived into it. He still had to face his brother Esau. But do you know what happened? He was able to face his brother. He was able to be reconciled with his brother. Now, he still was a little bit concerned about what his brother was going to do to him. But when he approached his brother, he bowed 7 times. He gave his brother gifts. He embraced his brother, only to find out his brother had already forgiven him a long time ago. So Israel is a different person. When we face the things that we don't want to face, The blessing is we no longer have to run from those things again, and we are free to be the person God created us to be. There have been times in my life when I've had to wrestle. I won't go into the details about what they're about, but I've remembered this story every time I've gone through a hard night, and I've remembered Jacob. And what I remembered about Jacob was what he said, "Lord, bless me. I don't understand it. It's hard. But I'm not going to let you go. And I know you're not going to let me go." So this is going to be quite a wrestling match here. But I want you to bless me. 1974. Graduated from college. I knew I was going to divinity school. So I should be a happy guy, right? Yeah, I was somewhat happy, but there were some things I had to face. So I was sent to help out at a church in Norwood, North Carolina, not too far from Albemarle. And I had a little cottage by a lake, lived by myself. And on one particular night, I had to face some things in my life that I knew that unless I faced those things, I shouldn't go into the ministry. And I'm not going to tell you what those things are because they don't exist anymore. So I took my guitar and I went out into this cow pasture. And the stars were out and the moon was out. And God fixed it to where I didn't have to be too afraid of the dark. And I just said, you know, I don't know what I'm doing down here. I'm either going crazy or something good's getting ready to happen. And I just played my guitar a little bit and I looked up at those stars and I said, God, I'm getting ready to go into the ministry. And I don't feel worthy. I feel like there's things I haven't come clean about. There's that part of me that feels guilty. Lord, I want to follow your call, but I need your blessing. That night, when I made my way back to the cottage, I can't explain it, but I felt as if a load had been taken off my shoulder. And up until then, I went by the name of Bill Green. That was the name I went by. I was Mean Bill Green, the football player. If you see some of my old friends, they'll say, "Hey, Bill," and then you'll say, "Hey, what do you mean, Bill?" Now, Bill wasn't a bad guy, but Bill knew that he needed to face some things, so he did. And on the way back to the cottage, the Lord just said, "Stand in front of the people and tell them your name is William." And so that's why you call me William. Now, I'm reminded from time to time that I only have one other name. That's my first name, Harold. I do not want to mess William up. I'll be sitting in the doctor's office, and you know they call you by your first name, so I'm sitting there, "Harold Green." "Oh, that's interesting. I'm wondering if I'm related to that guy." And then they call the name out several more times. They go, "Oh, dang, damn it, that's who I am. Harold, Harold, Harold." And every time they call out Harold, I go, "I'm going to keep William. I'm going to keep William." And by golly, the Lord's been good. He's been good to me. He can be good to you. We're going to close out this service with, "Lord, give me that name. Give me that name you have for me, and I will take it, and I will live it out. I will be blessed so that I will be a blessing." Let us stand.